Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast. I'm your host, Annie McGrath, and I have a fantastic guest for you this week. His name is Alistair Beckett King. And he does some incredible 3D modelling on a computer. Blew my mind. He made a dinosaur in a hand on a computer. I know, right? I did some painting. We had a lovely chat about all things from magic to dinosaurs and everything in between. So hope you enjoy the episode. Remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod to see our artworks. See you on the other side. Alistair Beckett King is a wonderful comedian. He won Leicester Mercury Comedian of the Year in 2017 and has appeared on BBC's Mock the Week, BBC Radio 4 Extra, and has performed stand-up at Glastonbury, the Edinburgh Festival, and several international comedy festivals. Throughout the pandemic, he has made a series of brilliant online videos which have gone viral, including some animated sketches. So I have a feeling he's going to be a pretty good artist. And according to his website, he also knows quite a lot about 19th century magicians. Hello, Alistair.
Hello, Annie. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Please don't quiz me on 19th century magicians. I may not be able to
Luckily,
deliver
I don't
on that.
Know anything about them. So
I know the names of some 19th century magicians. I'm not quite as into it as I was when I wrote that bio, the first draft of that bio that came from several years ago.
Right, okay. I won't quiz you then.
Masklin, David Devond. These are just some names of magicians.
That's already more than I know. So yeah. You've smashed it. I'm excited to talk to you about art. Do you consider yourself to be an artist?
Yeah, but I think art's pretty broad. Like, I think anything that's pointless but people like is art, in my view. So stand-up comedy's art and music's art. So I don't have a strict fine art definition of art. Because what is stand-up if it's not art? People say it's pretentious to call it art, but that is what it is. You're doing a form of theatre, just accept it.
Like, it annoys me that it's always listed in sort of nightlife rather than like art in newspapers and stuff. It's like, surely it's art.
Surely it's art.
Like ballet is art. Surely stand-up is art.
Yeah. But there's just less references to willies in ballet. It's probably the reason.
Actually, ballet could do with a few more dick references.
Well, the thing is, you can see them when the male dancers are out. You can see them most of the time.
Yeah, it's quite weird that they don't reference it.
They should reference it. People should be going like, I can clearly see the outline of it.
Yeah.
Surely that's why people are going in part.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen ballet, so I'm.
I've seen it once. I've had a physics teacher. He didn't even teach me physics, but he was a physics teacher at our school and he was also a ballerina. So a group of us, when we were at school, went to watch him in a ballet. And I think it was weird seeing your physics teacher in Lycra.
Yeah, but I suppose ballet is 90% physics, isn't it? Because if you get anything wrong, then you're just straight through the wall or just breaking an arm or something.
Yeah. So is physics art?
Yes, everything's art.
Great.
In conclusion, everything's art.
So have you chosen something for us to draw or paint today?
No, I didn't know I had to. Did it say that in the email? Did it say that? I reread it to see if... Oh, no.
I might have missed that out.
Oh, no.
That's all right. Is there something... I mean, we can just choose something now.
Okay, what have I got? I've got...
That's cool.
I've got a hand holding a dinosaur.
That's perfect.
This is a wooden hand. And it's holding what I think is a velociraptor.
But I love that you just had that to hand.
To be clear, this isn't to scale, obviously. But I don't know if that is...
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, hands are famously difficult to draw, so I think this is going to be a good challenge.
Yeah, I mean, this is an artist's, this is one of those artist hands that you're supposed to use to draw hands, but it's also a cheap one from eBay that doesn't in any way move like a human hand, so it's completely useless.
It's really good. And tell me about the T-Rex.
Well, I think it's a velociraptor, not a T-Rex.
Sorry, velociraptor.
So this is my girlfriend's. My girlfriend likes dinosaurs, so we've got quite a few little cheap rubber dinosaurs around the flat, and this
it's
is one
sweet.
Of them.
Is it white?
We spray painted it white. Yes. Okay. So, which is
what
not
color was it before?
Dinosaur colored, I think.
Okay.
You know what? General
sort,
dinosaur
sort of
colors.
Khaki?
Reds and greens and browns. Did you say khaki?
Yeah. Yeah. Dinosaurs sort of khaki.
They're sort of corduroy, aren't they, dinosaurs? Yeah. We don't know. We don't know what color dinosaurs were. They could have all been feathery,
that's
probably.
True. Did you see that thing in the news recently where a 4-year-old girl in Wales...
Sorry, the dinosaur fell on the floor, excuse me.
Sorry. A 4-year-old girl in Wales was out with her family on the beach, and she was like, "Daddy, look at that." And there was an imprint on one of the stones in the sea that was a dinosaur print.
Wow, like
and
a footprint.
The mum... The footprint, yeah. The mum reported it on Facebook. Such a mum thing to do. Straight to Facebook. And it got picked up and it's now in a museum in Cardiff.
Just because that kid spotted it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And she was interviewed on the news, just going like, nang, nang, holding a model dinosaur like that. And the news reporter's like, "Do you think it was a T-Rex?" And she's like, "No, it's way too small for a T-Rex." So good.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And there'll be so many paleontologists being like,
exactly.
I've been searching all my life for a discovery like that.
So where was it found? We've got the news article up on
Barry Beach. That's an amazing, like, movie quality footprint. That's not like you get in real life, really.
Yeah.
That's a proper...
It's almost as if someone sort of carved it into
yes.
the...
Yes, it's exactly like someone carved it.
I quite want your face in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, will you hold it? Yeah, up a bit.
Are you going to draw me? Don't draw me.
Well, I don't know. You've got such a brilliant face for and hair. Your hair, I think about your hair a lot. It is exceptional. Do you get commented on it? Do you complimented on it quite regularly?
Commented and complimented.
Yeah.
But yes, not compliments are a subset of the comments I receive about the hair. It's not universally loved.
Oh, really? So what are you working with today? Did you say you were going to do sort of...
Well, I don't know. I got out a sketch pad and pencils and stuff, but I mostly do things on computers. So I thought I might do like a 3D model or a drawing in Photoshop or something, because that's what I would normally do in my normal art life.
So when you say a 3D model on like, Photoshop, will you
like
explain?
A 3D model... In the computer 3D model, like
that sounds incredible, and I don't really understand how that works.
Because that way nobody will know if I'm good at drawing. But yeah. I am quite good at drawing, but I'm not a fine artist. So
I'm quite ignorant when it comes to digital art. So how do you go about making a 3D model on Photoshop?
Well, I would I'm going to use Blender 3D if I make a 3D model, and so 3D models are made up out of polygons. So it's a little bit like sculpting with clay, but it's also a little bit like if you were making an origami shape by folding pieces of paper and gluing them in. So there's not many sort of real world analogues, but you construct shapes using points, and points make lines, and then lines make surfaces, and then a series of surfaces together make volumes. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You've blown my mind already. I'm using paint. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I can't do paint. I can draw. It always used to bother me when I was a kid because I could draw, but I couldn't paint. And I still can draw and I still can't paint. And I read Peter Ackroyd's biography of Blake, which characterized him as belonging to the tradition of the English Gothic, which is all about outline and light and shade.
Yeah.
And I realized it's not that I can't paint. I'm just in the tradition of the English Gothic, and that's why I'm no good with colour, and I just want to do light and shade and outlines. I'm just too much of a goth. I'm just William Blake.
I love that. I think I'm way more into colour than specificity. So paint is definitely my medium.
And one of the reasons that I quite like working virtually or with pencils is you can erase things easily, whereas I find it very difficult when you work in any medium that has a grain of its own. Like working with wood is difficult and fabric because they've got all like, oh no, you can't do that. I'm fabric. Or, oh no, you can't cut me that way. I'm a piece of wood. I like working, like I like making props for films out of polystyrene and stuff because you can make it any shape and it has virtually no weight. And so it has no opinions about how it ought to be put together.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't need to last for more than a couple of days. It just needs to look good.
And you animate your own videos as well, don't you? Do you use this?
I do use these tools to do animation for my humorous online video output.
I've started painting, by the way. I don't know if you've started.
I better start. Sorry, I thought we were still... I'm going to put...
We're going to try and continue
the
talking whilst...
Next to the screen.
Are you self-taught or did you go to art college or where did you learn animation and drawing?
So I'm self-taught when it comes to animation and drawing and stuff. Mm. I mean, I went to film school, but they don't teach you that sort of thing at film school. I did briefly teach fine art students how to use Photoshop and stuff. And that was quite interesting because I got to do things like photocopy, scan in art textbooks and learn about Marcel Duchamp and stuff like that, which was interesting. That sort of blew my mind that there had been a debate in among artists about whether you had to mix your own paint to really be an artist, because it makes no sense. If you come from a film perspective, it makes no sense to think that art has to be made from scratch. It's just a nonsense idea. Because in film, you just grab a whole loads of things together and point a camera at it, and then it's art.
Yeah.
You don't have to have made the humans in the film.
You don't have to have built the camera.
Built the building or the camera. Yeah, it's absolutely incomprehensible to me.
So where do you stand on works that are produced by, like, the studio of, you know, if it's not the artist themselves?
Yeah, I mean, that's pure commerce, isn't it? That's just people making money. Come on, stop cheating.
Okay, good.
Come on, the factory or whatever it was called. No, I'm also a big fan of Walter Benjamin's thing about the work of art in the age of mechanical reproduction. The sort of, for want of a better word, cultural Marxist text about the fact that originality in art is principally a commercial thing. You know, the importance of the original is all about preserving the value that an original has, but in modern times, the concept of the original is meaningless. And again, film simplifies that a great deal because, of course, there's no original version of the film. What do you mean? You know, the first print of a film, is that the original? It doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing. It's incomprehensible. Film simplifies a lot of the questions that have baffled and troubled philosophers of art.
So do you think there's no original art?
I think the original... it's not that originality isn't important. It's that the original, it doesn't matter. Like, if you see the Mona Lisa or you see something that looks just like the Mona Lisa, it's no different, is my... People, we like to imagine a sort of special relationship with the artist is produced by looking at the thing that, you know, the painting that their brush touched. Mm. And... my contention would be that that's completely imaginary.
And so do you think
therefore
that
doesn't reside in the artwork?
In comedy as well, like with jokes and...
I think practically speaking, don't steal people's jokes. But but in reality, if the question of being original, it's a very modernist problem. Like all the, you know, medieval texts all begin with someone told me this story. Mm. Nobody claims to have thought of it. In fact, it's fashionable to pretend that you didn't write it because that suggests that, you know, the person to whom the story happened told you or that the muse, the gods told you it.
It also makes you less vulnerable to criticism. And it makes you less vulnerable. That's a terrible story. Like, yeah, well, someone just told
me.
I'm just telling you.
I just wrote it down. Yeah. And so I like that. So the obsession that we have with originality, I think, is... there's a big backlash against postmodernism and its attack on the concept of originality. But I'm not a huge fan of postmodern writing, but I think it's a reaction to the modernist obsession with originality, which for me, that was the blip.
Mm-hmm.
It was unusual that we were so obsessed with originality and original voices at that time for that in the 20th century.
Yeah.
I'm being really pretentious because I'm doing some really bad art here.
You're being great. How have you started with your 3D modelling?
I'm trying to do a hand first because I thought that would be easier than doing the dinosaur.
Yeah, I've started with the hand and as well, I'm regretting it because now the dinosaur has to fit into the hand.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I think I should have probably done the outline of all of it first. But
I have more flexibility than you to change things once it's finished.
Because
I'm on a computer. So if I make a mistake, I can go back on it. But equally, this is going to be bad. This is bad, listener. Be warned.
So do you fill in the colour as well, or do you leave it sort of gothic in your style of...
I think I might have to leave it gothic because I am part of the English Gothic tradition.
Yeah.
Whether they want me or not. Everyone knows that about me. They're like, ABK, is there the one who's part of the English Gothic tradition?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, because I'm just not so good with colour. I see artists who are brilliant with it, and everything I do is essentially monochrome or two colours.
I want to talk about your videos, which I've absolutely loved throughout lockdown. They're also like very visually attractive and quite glossy. Do you think that's I don't know whether you think that's important, that comedy looks good, or whether that can detract from the comedy. I don't think in yours it does. But...
Thank you. I there is a general attitude, isn't there, that if it's funny, it's funny. And and that too much time trying destroys comedy, you know. And in fact, also that comedy ought to be effortless. And in fact, you shouldn't put effort into it. And I think that's a sort of macho bullshit, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
I think trying hard makes things better, usually. I'm just a huge try-hard. But
and also trying hard can make things funnier, I think.
Yes, too much effort into things, working too hard, devoting way too much to something stupid really appeals to me.
Yeah.
And so obviously there are, you know, the it's so bad it's good phenomenon totally exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some things are good because the person has made no effort.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people who are sort of exist on the cusp of that, like Limmy, where, because some of Limmy's output is really crummily put together and absolutely hilarious because of it. But also, some of it is really sort of meticulously done and incredibly cleverly constructed.
Yeah.
And I guess part of the fun is you don't know which one you're going
to
get.
Did you make a conscious decision with yours to make them look nice, or is that just because
I'm just a nerd. it's just that I can, you know, because I have the, you know, when lockdown began, I was already making a few films, but most of the little video films, as if I'm Citizen Kane. I mean, as if I'm Orson Welles. But I'd already done a few. But at that time, a lot of people went, oh, okay, right, well, now I need to learn how cameras work.
Mm.
But I already knew how cameras work. So I just had a head start on some people. But for me, the... You know, if I do, like I did this week, if I do a silent movie spoof, well, I've seen silent movies, and it bothers me when people do a pastiche which is a pastiche of a pastiche.
Right.
Like, you know, so if I do my film noir spoof looks like film noirs because I've seen film noirs. It's not based on other spoofs of film noirs.
Yeah.
And the same with the silent movie. It's not based on a secondhand version of silent movies. It's based on silent movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks quite like silent movies. And it has, like, I put, when the splice happens in the middle of a shot, I put sellotape on that, you know, fake digital sellotape to make it look like the two shots have been taped together. Because that's what silent movies look like when their tapes are, that's what movies look like in general when you splice
things
together.
I didn't know digital sellotape was a thing.
There is no such a thing as digital sellotape. I just put something on the frame that looks like how sellotape looks when it goes through a projector. Because
that's very cool.
I don't know who that's for. It's for me. Because because it pleases me. I always think of, and I've, I, I, if I, I may have mentioned this on other podcasts talking about art and stuff, but like, you know, I'm a fan of the films of Monty Python, and famously, you know, Cleese and Chapman got arsey with the Terrys when they were making Holy Grail, because they were too focused on how it looked, you know, saying, oh, was the smoke funny enough in that take and that sort of thing. But I really, I think the Terrys were absolutely right, that the fact that that film and Life of Brian look pretty much like how movies look is a huge part of why it's funny, because if those films had looked like Carry On films, they wouldn't have the legacy that they have. If they'd all looked like they were shot in a you know, Elstree or Pinewood, rather than on location and quite naturalistically, it isn't as funny to do all that ludicrous stuff. So it matters. It matters that it looks like a film, because it is a film.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Going back to magicians, I know you said you don't really, you're not as obsessed as you used to be.
Yes.
But I wondered how you got into magic, and if you think there's, if you yourself do magic, and how you think comedy and magic are related, if indeed you do think they are.
That's interesting. Obviously, everyone hates magicians, so I'm not keen to admit that I was a child magician, but obviously I was.
Why do you think that is, that will you say that everyone hates magicians?
It's not magic. It's the magicians who are the problem.
Right.
They are not universally, but the worst qualities that comedians have, the worst sort of macho bullied nerd finally getting his revenge.
Yeah. Having to be superior.
Exactly. And demonstrating, you know, a lot of people when they start out in comedy, definitely me, have loads of bits about situations in which they win in their stories. And then, I've always been self-deprecating, but I also told stories about how clever I was in various situations. You know, the sort of spirit Lescalier thing. De Lescalier, whatever it is, that when you think of what you should have said, and then you turn it into a stand-up routine in which you did say that. That's quite satisfying, but it's not necessarily very generous, and it's not necessarily good to do that. But the magicians get to do that all the time, constantly be right and constantly win. And I think the better magicians find ways of shifting around who is the magical person. There's lots of tricks that place the audience member in the position of seeming to do wonderful things. But obviously there's an attraction for nerds. But it's much more like cinema, magic.
Mm. And how did you get into it?
I can't remember. I've always been obsessed with it as a kid. I always wanted to be a magician. My hands aren't quick enough. Just like I wanted to do animation and drawing and stuff, but I'm too slow. Which is why I'm really tense now, because I didn't realise I was going to be doing it within a limited period of time podcast.
Well, no, there's no real time limit.
I hope there isn't. Do your listeners like 5-hour long episodes?
Yeah, it's just like slow TV. This is a slow podcast.
Really slow podcast.
Yeah. So what made you stop doing magic? Was it that feeling of...
It was a realisation that my left hand is too slow, among other things. I can't do any sleights of hand with my left hand.
Are you left-handed?
I'm right-handed. Okay. I know I give the impression that I would be left-handed, don't I?
Yeah, you do, actually.
Yeah, and I'm very
happy
with
that. First
thing
I thought about you.
Yeah, ABK, the is in the tradition of the English Gothic and is a left-handed magician.
Yeah.
No, actually, twist, I'm not left-handed.
So could you not have just done the magic with your right
hand? I guess it's like saying, a footballer could just do football with one foot.
Yeah.
I guess they do have
They are sort of placed.
I shouldn't have used a football analogy, should I? I don't know anything about football. I've made a fool of myself.
That's a good
there.
Analogy.
But no, I just wasn't good enough at it, which is something that I find very difficult to admit because I don't like being not good at things. When I'm not good at things, I try not to do them at all.
Right. So were you, did you move straight from magic to comedy or were you always sort of doing comedy with your magic?
I was always trying to do film. I did lots of magic tricks. I can still do a few, but I never performed.
Can you do any on Zoom?
I don't think I have a deck of cards here.
No, that's fine.
I could maybe do a French drop, like a tiny, simple sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Maybe a lid. No, that's too big.
This
is very boring podcast material. All right. So, okay. So this is the French drop. I don't actually know whether.
Will you describe what you're doing to the listener?
I might need to reposition the camera so you can see me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, all right. There we go. Okay. So this is a French drop. So it involves taking a coin from one hand to the other and then going, bah, and making it disappear. It's the simplest trick in the world.
Oh, wow.
So the other reason I'm bad at magic is I immediately like to explain how a trick works. So in the French drop, you hold a coin between the thumb and two forefingers of one hand.
Yeah.
And then you appear to take it using the thumb and fingers of the other hand.
Yeah.
But actually all you're doing is allowing it to drop into the palm of the first hand. So it's,
wow.
It's the simplest sleight in the world, but it's all about making people, keeping your eyes on the hand that doesn't contain the coin to give the impression that the coin is in there.
That's really cool.
Thank you. That is the lowest bar possible for magic.
I love that. So, you're not supposed to do that, isn't that?
You're not supposed to. But that's why you kicked me out, yeah. They
kicked you out because you kept telling everyone how easy it is and how it's done.
Perhaps it's because fooling people wasn't the big thing for me. The magic of how it works. A lot of people think, like when you find out how comedy works, you stop enjoying comedy, or when you find out how a film is made, it ruins the film. And I've just never experienced that.
That's good.
For me, knowing how it works makes it even better, because then you get to enjoy it twice. You get to enjoy the effect of the illusion, and you get to enjoy the knowledge of the intricate technique that goes into it, which I guess is why obviously some people are naturally funny, but screw those guys. and gals.
And but, girls, they're letting women
yep,
do it now.
Yep,
too.
Yep. And some of them are naturally funny. Some people, I guess, are naturally funny. I know. But it's nice to realise through doing stand-up that actually most people are putting quite a lot of effort into it. And it isn't just about being naturally brilliant at everything and it just comes out of you like a fountain.
Yeah.
It's people do have to put effort in.
So do you find you still laugh as much as watching a stand-up as you did before you were a stand-up?
That would probably be an overstatement. But I do still laugh. I think the thing that changes is you learn the tricks. So I'm not going to laugh at your heckle put-down now as much as I would have then. Because I've seen it before. I've heard that line before. I've been in this situation many times before.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you sort of get the impression that comedians don't really like jokes sometimes and don't like comedy. And I think that's weird because I really like comedy.
Yeah.
I enjoy jokes. And
yeah.
I've just no time for, I like weird, clever comedy as much as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I've no time for this sort of elitism whereby the only real comedy is proper sixth form student comedy that deconstructs everything and that people hate. I hate that.
Yeah, it was a bit.
I like that kind
of
comedy.
Of fad to sort of think to not like Michael McIntyre was like quite a trendy thing at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah,
people being like, it's just observational. It's like, it's but
anybody could have
it's
noticed
done
that.
Well,
yeah, but he did, and he became a millionaire. So
yeah,
you know, Which is not to say that becoming a millionaire is the measure of being a good comedian. Mm-hmm. But I think there are people...
That's a relief.
There's a weird thing whereby I think people genuinely think that people are pretending to enjoy comedy for one reason or another. Mm. Like people reckon that the wokes, have you heard about the wokes? Oh, you wouldn't believe what the wokes are up to. They're out there, they're doing all sorts of stuff. I'm not aware of any of the details, but apparently it's terrible.
I feel like that doesn't apply to stand-up. People pretend, I think it's like one of the few art forms people don't have to pretend to like.
No!
It's like theatre, yes, people do pretend to like it because I think there's some like intellectual snobbery there.
Yes.
And laughing at, you know, jokes in theatre, people do much. I feel like people pretend to do that much more than in comedy if they don't.
I mean, maybe there are a few people actually working in comedy who are ashamed to admit they don't like Stuart Lee or something. And they should be. But but most people, there's the idea, I think, that we have the idea, we among the wokes, I'm calling us the wokes now, this idea that everybody's just pretending to enjoy, you know, conservative comedy. But no, the people who go to see Jim Davidson are laughing, mm-hmm. and the people who go to see the woke comedy are also genuinely laughing because people have different senses of humour. And I find it incomprehensible that this isn't obvious. And that people actually think someone is just out there pretending to enjoy something for woke points. It's like, why would you do that? It's funny. We like it.
Mm. Have you got any favourite artists, Alistair?
So are we talking about fine artists?
Well, up to you, really. Yeah, I was thinking fine artists, but as we've established, physics is art. So
Einstein. My impractically broad definition of art. I'm mainly a film. I'm mainly a moving pictures person. Mm-hmm. So I'm having William Blake, if that's okay.
I love William.
Even though he's mainly known as a poet. I mean, he was mainly known as nothing at the time because he wasn't famous. But
well, he did some incredible paintings. Were his not paintings?
He did some paintings. The Dream of a Flea is probably the most famous one, which is creepy as flip. But most of his work were, he was an engraver by trade, and so most of his stuff were engravings. But he, using his own unique engraving technique that was frankly bizarre, and produces very distinctive and strange looking stuff. I'm just going to bring you up. Ghost of a Flea. I'm sorry, it's not the Dream of a Flea, it's the Ghost of a Flea.
Yeah, that is very creepy, isn't it?
And then you can see in the same picture, there's Urizen leaning down with his compass. And also, I think that's Nebuchadnezzar in the cave, looking like me, crossed with Tom Baker on hands and knees. Me if I was more buff. But my toenails do look like that, so that is accurate.
You need a pedicure.
Yep.
Wow, yeah, he's amazing. I also loved his poems because we did romantic poetry for a bit when I did A-level English, and he was one of my absolute faves.
That was when I also, doing A-level English is when I discovered William Blake, and I was like, no wonder they don't teach this to kids because the whole system would fall apart. This is mind-blowing stuff.
Couldn't believe that he was so sort of anti-organized religion and wrote Jerusalem, which is now like... sung in church and at weddings. Every time it's sung, like,
ironic.
Do you know the point of this?
Yeah, that it's,
he hated you guys.
It's absolutely ridiculous that that's what he's remembered for.
Yeah,
it's a great reminder of there's a lot of bitterness and entitlement in comedy. A lot of people going, you know, I'm good. Why haven't I got these breaks and so on? And the answer to it is just that. Things are unfair. Things are really unfair. Mm. And I don't mean that that's fine. It's just that it's not. It's normal. There doesn't have to be a conspiracy against your career to prevent you from making it.
Yeah.
And also, if you're performing comedy regularly for money, you've made it. Sorry, bad news. That's making it. The fact that you haven't got your own BBC One sitcom, that's not it. The thing is, you get to actually do it to people. You get to do comedy for a living, for money, like you dreamed of. That's making it. Come on.
Thank you. I needed this pep talk.
I don't mean to. It's just that it breeds so many.
No, you know, but you're right.
There's so much. You just all of the sort of alt-right bitterness that has crept into some parts of comedy, where it's like a black woman kept me off the TV by being jokes or whatever the opinion is this week. It's like, no, that isn't what happened. It's so weird.
Yeah. Have you found? Were you making your videos before lockdown, or were they a result of the pandemic?
I think them doing a bit better was a result of the pandemic. So having a few that went sort of semi-viral was definitely part of the thanks to COVID, which has worked out brilliantly for me. So great work, everyone involved in that.
Has that made you sort of change your outlook on what you want to be doing, or do you still love doing live work?
Well, it's weird now, because I absolutely miss hearing people laugh at the jokes. Having it's a huge part of it, and making videos on your own is really tiring and hard work. You know, sort of doing it and sort of directing yourself. I end up having to do so many takes because I'm such a horrible actor. It's so difficult that I can't tell whether I'm doing it right until, you know, so I have to do it and then watch it back and then do it again. It's really,
that
really
just
difficult.
Make you a perfectionist rather than a horrible actor.
I mean, it might. I don't really know if I believe in perfectionism. I think there are just normal people and slackers. I'm not sure I can stand by that as an opinion.
I love that.
But I said it, so it's in the podcast.
You said it. It exists now in the world.
How can I be a perfectionist when I'm aware of all of the flaws in everything I have ever produced? Come on. How could I be?
How's your dino hand coming along?
I've got a dinosaur and a hand. Do you want to see?
Sounds like you're smashing it then. Yeah, let's have a look.
All right. I mean, it's not looking... Oh, okay. I'm going to switch over. There you go. Now
Whoa!
You can see. I've got a dinosaur and a hand.
But that is so cool.
The dinosaur has no... Oh, my God. Has no hands, so it's not quite a dinosaur.
Has the dinosaur got a belly button?
Has he? Oh, no, that's just a little... He does look like he's got a lovely little piercing.
That's the coolest thing I've ever
They're
seen.
They're not in scale yet, so there we go. That's more in scale.
I just am so impressed by what you're doing that you could literally have done anything.
That
it
is,
looks
yes.
So good.
It's like any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. So
I feel like
because you don't know how to do it, it's impressive.
The future.
I think it is not very impressive what I've done here.
It is very impressive.
But I'm going to do some amazing lighting or something. How long have we got left? Is there a ticking clock?
On the screen. Mommy, do dinosaurs have belly buttons? There's a book called Mummy.
Do dinosaurs have... That sounds like Christian business to me. Like,
I was
no, because they weren't created by God.
Christian.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't raised Christian. What do I give the impression of being a Christian?
You give the impression of being a lapsed Christian.
Oh, I don't know whether to be insulted or complimented.
I don't know.
You give the impression of having succumbed to sin.
Yeah. I'm impressed by how much you've avoided, like every time you've come to swear, you've said something like flip or, and I think that makes me think that, oh, maybe you were brought up Christian.
No, I never used to swear.
You got younger siblings?
One, but that's not it. I was just too uptight, I think, when I was a kid. I just didn't do it. But then, a series of Tory governments have made that impossible to maintain. So I do swear now, but not well. It doesn't suit me. It's like a primary school teacher swearing when I do it. It's usually an indicator of genuine anger, which is why it's unpleasant. I can't swear in a fun way like some people do.
Okay. So I'll know if you swear on this, you're absolutely furious.
Absolutely livid, yeah.
Do you own any art in your house?
I've got a few. I have 19th century etchings of birds that I bought from my partner. So a spoonbeak and a coot and a ptarmigan.
Amazing.
I've got a Mexican calavera. I can't remember what her name is. The woman with the big hat, if you know that one.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a couple of illustrations by Arthur Rackham. I like... stories. So all of the... I like illustrations, which is one of the reasons why I guess that I didn't get along with fine art properly. So I've always liked illustrators like Dumas and Rackham, because then they're just drawing fairy tales, which is totally what I'm into.
Have you seen the Paula Rego exhibition?
No.
At the Tate? You should go and see that.
I don't know who she is, I'm afraid.
She's a Portuguese artist, and she does... It's interesting seeing her exhibition because there's different rooms and her style changes like totally throughout her lifetime, from like really abstract paintings to quite dark, like realistic, figurative work. But she also has lots of drawings and etchings of sort of fairy tales. Like I think it's Captain Hook holding one of the lost boys, and it's quite a beautiful drawing, but it's almost like quite magical, her stuff.
Yeah.
So she did lots of paintings that were to try and get the abortion law passed in Portugal. So these sort of solitary portraits of women by themselves, like having had sort of illegal abortions. But then her later stuff is a bit, I'm trying to find the...
Bit more cheerful.
The more sort of magical. Not necessarily cheerful. They still have like a darkness to them, but... But yeah, I love etchings. They feel like such sort of physical drawings.
I like etchings and woodcuts. I did like, I liked Otto Dix, don't know his name. The other German expressionists, whose names I can't remember. You know, the ones working with, you know, big black and white and woodcuts and that sort of thing. Admittedly, I probably liked them because of their influence on German expressionist cinema and film noir. Which is the main thing that I was interested in.
So where did you know the pictures you've got in your house? Did you collect them from like different art fairs or shops or?
No, these are all old prints from books, I think, that you get from sort of antiquarian bookshops for not very much money. Is what I have, and they are the kind of thing I like. They're outlines with a little bit of color, but they're mainly. They're mainly outlines, outline based.
Yeah, so
that's how I like it.
Monochrome.
Yeah, or if not exactly monochrome, you know, they're sort of the 19th century prints are sort of watercolored a little, or maybe lithographs. I don't know, but
nice.
But that's not what I like. I like me some outlines.
My art teacher at school always. Like warned us against outlining our work too much. I think he was quite a good painter, so
that'll be it. That'll be the reason I'm not properly a good artist. It's not having been warned.
Well, you keep saying that, but I think you are. Yeah, to like look for the shapes and the shapes within objects and the light and the dark, rather than like outlining a hand and outlining a dinosaur.
I remember being on a student film production in a school, and there were children's drawings up on the wall, and they'd been given pictures as resources, and it was people who live in the rainforest. I don't know which one. So you know, with you know, very traditional clothing and sort of, you know, hats to protect them from the sun and the rain.
Yeah.
And there was a wall that fascinated me because it was all kids' drawings of a single woman who was sitting, very strong sunlight on her face, with a hat on. And so the parts of her that were in shadow were completely black. You know, this is a film photograph on 35mm black and white film, very high contrast. And so you could just, you know, you couldn't see one of her eyes at all because it was shadowed by the hat. Mm-hmm. And what fascinated me about it was that every child, bar one, drew both eyes on the woman. Because they knew she has a second eye.
Yeah.
So they've drawn it. But one child had just outlined the light and dark in the picture. And it looked
amazing.
His or her picture, their picture, we could say, was almost incomprehensible. You couldn't make any sense of it. It looked like a bad drawing until you realized what that child was doing. And you think, I'd love to know if that child were neurodivergent in some way. Because that child drew what was in the picture. The light parts and the dark parts.
Yeah, whereas everybody else, any child who had looked.
Yes,
properly.
Whereas everybody else had gone, I know what a face looks like, so I'll put the eye there and I'll put the other eye there. And I think I just found it utterly fascinating the way that we have, I don't know, the way that we think of looking at things as being receptive when it's highly selective and even constructive when making things when we look at them. And those people, all those kids, all made an eye when they looked at the eye.
Thick kids.
Absolutely thick. Stupid, stupid children. If they'd been there, I would have just yelled at a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing half your face now.
What? Oh, no.
Speaking of only one eye, because I don't want to... I don't want to cheat the proportion and squish your whole face in because I haven't left enough room to do all of it.
Okay, well, that's going to be a bold aesthetic choice. Just having half of my face.
Yeah, sort of similar colour to the... Made the T-Rex a slightly bluey white. You've got blue eyes, haven't you?
I do. Blue grey. They're not very nice.
They look nice. I think they're similar to mine, actually.
If they're similar to yours, then they're lovely.
They look really nice. Like
just
mine.
Absolutely top eyes.
Are your parents ginger?
My dad's auburn, I think.
Auburn.
And my mum isn't.
Both blue-eyed?
I think my dad is blue-eyed. I don't know what colour my mum's eyes are.
Really?
But I can recognise her from a lineup. So.
A lineup of mums. A lineup of mums. If you.
Yeah.
It'd be a good game show.
Whose mum is this?
That's mine. Well done. You win.
Yeah, it's a bit easier if it's your own mum. I guess it does make it a little bit easier.
Are you going to model yourself in 3D or just the hand and the dance?
I'm not putting me in it, no, because the hair would be too difficult to do.
The hair's the best bit of mine, I think. I've gone for a sort of, I've mixed, what's that? It's like a fluorescent pink with a burnt umber.
Oh, I like a bit of burnt umber.
Abstract or realism?
I don't like abstract art, but I don't like realism either. But if I have to choose realism, I like things to be depictions of things.
Okay. So what?
But
do you
I
like
don't care. I don't care for. I don't care whether the depictions are naturalistic, but I don't like. This is not really a quickfire answer, is it?
No, but I'm interested. Yeah.
So I prefer things to be somewhat expressionistic or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what I always liked. I'm not bothered about the appearance of realism.
Okay, so you like Edvard Munch, that sort of
Munch,
thing?
Munch, yeah, I like him, yeah. He's good.
Did you see the Tracy Emin Munch exhibition at the RA?
No, I didn't. I did see a Munch exhibition at the Tate. It would be about 5 years ago now, which is
nice.
Which was very good.
Yeah, I love his stuff.
At the Modern, the Tate Modern.
Mm.
Yes, I do like Munch. But I'm always interested in fantastical things.
Mm-hmm. Magical realism, maybe.
I didn't really know what magical realism was until someone explained it to me recently. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that is what I like. That's the genre I like.
I think that's what I like too. Okay, next quick question. Tate Modern or Tate Britain?
I don't really enjoy going to galleries that much. I've seen more stuff I liked at the Tate Modern.
Mm-hmm.
No criticism meant of the Tate Britain. It's just how many drawings of Jesus or cows do you want to look at?
Loads. Give me more.
Put the two together, Jesus and cows, I say. Nobody has dared to do that.
Jesus on a cow.
Jesus on a cow.
What don't you like about going to galleries?
There's far too many religious paintings for me. I'm just not that bothered about it. Far too
many. Lapsed Christian.
I don't know how you got that rumor started. Far too many just paintings of wealthy patrons of the artist. Like, I'm just not bothered about mm-hmm. seeing Lady this and that and her husband.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, what? Boring. That's boring, isn't it?
Lady this and that.
Just not interested in that.
Yeah. Dawn or dusk?
Dusk. I'm not awake at dawn.
Matisse or Magritte?
I don't think I know Magritte well enough to say. I've always disliked Matisse, but I'm going to go with Matisse. Let me Google what Magritte looks like so I can remember.
Magritte does, his most famous one, I think, is Son of Man. So the top hat, the bowler hat man with the apple.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Oh, yeah. Then the guy I just heard about. Yes. Yeah, I was always not a big fan of Matisse's cutting out things and sticking them on the wall.
Mm, how come?
Anyone could do that. I think it's because I found out about it when I was young and had a very sort of Daily Mail or The Sun, oh, my five-year-old could do that attitude about it.
Well,
that's not the right accent. It should be more, oh, my five-year-old could do that. Yeah.
But he was blind when he did it, so fair play to him.
Oh, well, good luck. That, yeah, fair enough. That was kind of ableist of me to say that. Sorry, Matisse. I don't know.
Same thing. They're all the same. Men.
Yeah. Let's not split hairs.
Rom-com or Scandi Noir?
Scandi Noir. Any noir, frankly, but I do enjoy a Scandi Noir.
I loved your Scandi Noir sketch / short film, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you. My short art work, my short installation.
Writing or performing?
I don't know. I'm terrible at both of them, I think.
You're not. I'm just laughing at how continually self-deprecating you are.
I don't know. I always thought that I would be better at writing. I never intended to be a performer. But I do enjoy performing more.
Mm.
Performing is enjoyable and writing is not at all enjoyable in the slightest.
Writing's harder to stay motivated, I think.
So much more difficult in every respect, writing.
Yeah.
It's more rewarding, is it? Do I enjoy it at all in any way? Just don't know.
Harry Keller or Harry Houdini?
I'm going to go... Harry Keller is also a magician. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yes.
I was hoping you'd know
I
that.
Don't know Keller. Houdini is a great magician. So I'm going to go with Houdini because he's more famous and because I can't remember anything that Keller did.
Nice. Well, I don't know. I think I just Googled 19th century magicians and then was like, they're both called Harry and Alistair will know.
Oh, I've been caught out once again. What a fraud I am.
Tortured artist or logical detective?
A logical detective for me, please. I'm fine with people having... I want to be supportive of people's mental health challenges, but... Mm-hmm. But I think they are... But... stop whinging, lads. And lasses. No. But I'm not a fan of the idea that you have to be sick to create work, or indeed that's where it comes from. Obviously it is for some people. For some people, the crisis is what the work is about. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a crutch and an excuse for a lot of people. An excuse to justify terrible behaviour, among other things, that you have to behave like that to be an artist.
Yeah.
To excuse the horrible behaviour of your artistic geniuses, when the reality is that if you're a genius, you can get away with stuff, and that's why geniuses behave badly. They don't ever behave badly because it is in the nature of genius to be a womanizer, for instance.
Mm.
It's because if you're Picasso, you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Anybody without Picasso's talent, with his fame, would have had the opportunity to do the same thing, and many of them would have without being any good at drawing.
Amen.
Is my opinion.
I know. I think it's good. I agree. Private view or view of privates?
View of privates, please. I do enjoy seeing people naked, which is what I assume that means.
Yeah. Invisibility or super strength?
Oh. Hmm. Oh, that's a challenge. I always would have gone for invisibility, but I think I'm now going to go for super strength. I think it would be more practical.
What made you change? Yeah.
Well, just thinking about, you know, what if there was a crisis? It would be really useful to be unexpectedly strong, I think, because I don't look like I would be strong. So it would be really...
And I think invisibility, it would be so much more tempting to get yourself in... like stuck in situations that would drive you insane.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. Think of the scrapes I'd get into if I could become invisible. And the temptation to use that power for evil would be great. Whereas I don't think I'd be tempted to use super strength for my own nefarious ends.
You say that, but we'll find out, I suppose.
We'll find out when I am gifted after this podcast ends with the power of super strength.
Exactly. Can you separate the art from the artist?
It is unimportant, in my view, because they aren't connected in the first place, I think.
Mm.
So I'm all with Roland Barthes, or whatever he is. Obviously, meaning is constructed by the reader or the viewer. Mm-hmm. You're not experiencing a direct communication with an artist when you're enjoying a piece of art. Everyone should stop pretending that you are.
Interesting.
Is my view. But but that doesn't mean that the artist is important. That doesn't mean that we get to enjoy the artist's work as if that they have no relation to it. Mm. So I, what am I getting at? Like, if you've got Hitler's paintings on your walls, I'll raise an eyebrow about that. Because he's not that bad a painter, but he's not good enough.
I'll just take them down. I didn't realise they were in shot.
He's not a good enough painter that you would want to have them on there.
He didn't get into art college, did he?
No.
He used to sit outside pretending he got in, sit outside every day.
Well, nobody ever said Hitler wasn't a wanker. bit of a poser. That's the thing about Hitler.
That's an exclusive from this podcast. Hitler, not a good guy.
You heard it here.
Okay, a few more quick fire questions. Art or tech?
Art. Yeah, tech is a means to an end.
Art or books?
Oh, books, please.
Art or food?
Art. Food is a tedious distraction from being alive.
And finally, dicks or pussies? This can be in art or just in general.
To look at, if we're in art, if we're talking aesthetically and to look at, I'm going to go with dicks, please. Dicks, I don't know why I keep asking for them like it's countdown. Yeah. Can I have a dick, please?
It's made it feel like we're in a cafe. We'll have two dicks, please. And the bill.
This is the last one. Oh, okay. That's fine then. We'll share.
Yeah. Do you normally do your art sort of alone without any distractions?
I normally do it with many distractions from my girlfriend, and I'm very impatient with them. And
right.
I'm very often grumpy when I work, which I'm not proud of. But I find it very hard to do two things. I'm not great at maintaining focus, but when I have it, I'm not great at doing two things at the same time. So if I really think I answered the separate the art from the artist question badly, because I was working on a difficult bit of the drawing.
I think you answered it all very well, actually.
Oh, good.
So there.
Good. I hope I haven't been too boring for your listeners.
No, you've been great. You've been brilliant. Should we share?
I need another minute. I'm not doing it. I'm just waiting for the computer to do it.
Oh, wow.
Because I forgot, because I'm using my CPU to render it instead of my GPU. Classic. Classic problem. But it's too late now.
I don't know what any of that means, but
I'm sure at least one of your listeners will know.
You mean our one listener?
I hope that your one listener is well into GPUs. Actually, my caveat for separating the art from the artist is that I think it's different with stand-up comedians, because I think stand-up comedy makes the promise, which is not accurate, not the honest promise, but it's a promise that you are meeting a person. And this idea that comedians are meant to be bad people experiencing crazy stuff, the reality is, if you go and see one of those edgy comedians, you like them and you admire them, I think, in one way or another. You don't necessarily take it seriously. And so that's why... when you're Bill Cosby and the persona you sold was a wholesome nation's granddad, this is why it's an issue, because it tells us that all of the jokes you told us were a lie. That's why that's a problem. Obviously, his behavior is a problem outside of that, but that's why it's a problem for the art that you made.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, different if you're, Polanski is a good filmmaker and nothing in his films promises that he isn't an appalling child who nobody should work with, because he is. But his films are very good, and that's why people have worked with him, which I think is bad, because I think at the very least frowning upon that sort of thing is what we should do. And I don't think that's libelous, Stu. I can hear you scribbling, but I'm pretty certain that is a known fact about Polanski. So
furiously writing down time point we're on.
We can all think of other directors who I could have accused of things that they haven't admitted to doing, so I haven't mentioned them. That's why I chose Polanski, because it's not libel. But knowing that about Polanski doesn't make Rosemary's Baby a worse film. It makes him a horrible, terrible person. But knowing a bad thing about Cosby changes the stand-up. You know, knowing that the defeated moralism in Louis C.K.'s work is not reflected in his behavior in real life damages the sitcom Louis because you know it's a lie.
Yeah. And with stand-ups, you're going on stage generally under your name.
Yes.
So even though it might be a heightened version or a different persona, it's still you're presenting as yourself, really.
And maybe it's one of the reasons why you shouldn't go on stage and say, hey, look how brilliant I am. But but that's the act I've worked on. So it's too late now. I'm stuck with it. Okay. I think I have it's rendered. So I can switch over to it.
Right.
So that's.
Whoa!
That is my.
Oh my thing. God. That is incredible.
I'm still enjoying the flattery, although I get the impression you would be easily impressed.
This software has blown my mind anyway, but it's so accurate, and I love the fact that you've done the hand, this sort of bright red.
It is red, but there's pink. A bit of the highlight. It's got a blue highlight on it, going a bit magenta. That was the last choice I made to bring in a bit of colour because it's not a thing I would normally do.
It's great, yeah, because you're from the sort of Gothic tradition.
That's
originally.
Right, because I'm a part of the English Gothic.
And the T-Rex, not the T-Rex, the Velociraptor, the shading on that is sensational.
Well, admittedly, the computer does most of the work when it comes to shading.
Well done to the computer. But also, proportionally, it's perfect.
It's not quite right. I don't think that is what thumbs look like, but hey. Neither is...
I'm absolutely blown away.
To be fair, the thumb in the original is also... that is not what thumbs look like. Whose thumb does that?
Oh yeah,
that is a wonky old thumb.
What are the light sources in the picture?
There are three lights. I think there is a red light on the left hand side. There's a blue backlight, and then there's a neutral light just off camera on the right hand side. Quite high up to create a bit of, if you can see, sort of rim light on the tail of the dinosaur.
Mm, it's absolutely beautiful. It feels quite sort of peaceful in a way.
Thank you. I hope it doesn't reflect how stressed I was while trying to do it.
And have you drawn an eye on the dinosaur as well?
Oh, I've just realised it's showing you the wrong picture. let me switch so you're looking at the version.
Oh, I've been looking at the photo the whole time.
You're looking at the version that has the lights in it. Let me quickly switch to the right page.
I really like the lights.
Oh, there we go. Now, yes. So that was the behind-the-scenes version of it. Now you can see it without that.
It's really beautiful. Mine is much more sort of trad.
I need to see yours.
Oh, fuck. Well, I say trad. It's quite strange.
That's fantastic. I look so terrifying in that. Just hoving into frame. Just a single blue eye visible.
Yeah, I've gone for sort of bright pink and blue.
And it really does look like it's my wooden hand, like I'm the old man of the mountains.
Oh, that's true.
I'm in some post-apocalyptic future, I'm birthing little velociraptors with my animatronic half automaton hand.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's been really fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been lovely to chat to you.
Oh, I was so nervous. That was really nice.
I don't know why you're nervous.
Because I wanted to produce great art.
But you have.
I did.
Frame that.
Good.
So there.
Well, I enjoyed, although don't technically count your compliments. Thank you.
Great to have an artist from the tradition of the English Gothic on the podcast. About time too. Thank you to Alistair Beckett King. Remember to follow him on social media. He's on Twitter @MrABK. And on Instagram @itsMrABK. He's got his own podcast, don't we all? So check that out. It's called The Lawman Podcast. And it's a funny podcast about local legends and forgotten folklore. You can see our artworks from today on the Secret Artist's social media account @SecretArtPod. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, then why not give us an absolutely stunning review? Thanks very much. See you next time. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.